made his fourth cover on Time magazine. The title of the cover of Time was this, The Political Confessions of Billy Graham. And inside of that magazine was an article entitled, The Pastor in Chief. You see, Billy Graham has provided ministry for every U.S. president since Truman. One person that they highlighted was LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was obsessed with his own mortality. He was afraid to die. And he shared with Dr. Graham what he wanted at his funeral. First, he wanted Dr. Graham to do the funeral. And as he took a walk around his Texas ranch to a clearing where his parents were buried, President Johnson asked Dr. Graham if he would see his family again in heaven. And he also stated that when you preach my funeral, he said these words to Dr. Graham, don't use any notes. Don't do any fancy eulogizing either. I want you to look into the camera and just tell them what Christianity is all about. Tell them how they can be sure that they can go to heaven. I want you to preach the gospel. And just one more thing, Dr. Graham. You tell them of a few things that I did for this country. And I found out by reading the article that earlier Dr. Graham had led President Johnson to accept Jesus Christ while sitting in the president's white convertible on the Texas ranch. Can you picture this? The most powerful man in all the world, there with a country preacher leading him to Jesus. And I wasn't there, but I am more than sure that in that conversation, Dr. Graham shared the two musts. That's the title of my sermon, The Two Musts. In John chapter 3, the scripture that was read, you will find, if you would turn there to John chapter 3, two of the things that Jesus says we must do. While you're turning to John chapter 3, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with him. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, is giving to Jesus a certificate, duly signed and sealed by the rabbinical authorities. Nicodemus is thinking, it's no small matter that I'm here with you representing some of my fellows. And they are disposed to look with favor upon you, this new teacher. We know that you are a teacher, that you are a miracle worker. We know that you are a man sent from God, and you're in communion with God. He's trying to butter Jesus up, and he misses that Jesus is so much more. His little grandeur doesn't go anywhere. He is complimenting Jesus out of his divinity and out of his redeeming work. And how does Jesus deal with this imperfect confession? You have to see this. How does Jesus deal with it? Jesus points out to Nicodemus and everyone who is here today the deepest and the universal need of everyone. What I'm going to tell you today, I needed to tell you before the year runs out. There's no one here today that should let this hour pass without accepting the two musts. Jesus gives two musts. And you shouldn't leave here today without accepting them. Amen. Thank you, Ruth. Did anybody else hear that? You shouldn't leave here without accepting these two. John chapter 3. The first must. Jesus says, you must be born again. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says, now this, how can this be? How can a man who is old be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So what is this first we must do that Jesus is talking about? Nicodemus knew about the physical birth, and it's impossible to be physically born again. So what is this first must that you must do? You must be born again. Jesus is talking about a radical out and out change in our character. I know I'm in deep waters now. We like a lot of Bible stuff, but we don't like to change. That's what I found out in ministry. We don't mind me preaching other stuff, but this, not this. Jesus said, you must change. Your nature must change. In fact, it needs to be a change that people can see. Thank you. I got one amen out there. It needs to be a change that people can see. There needs to be a renovation. There needs to be a metamorphosis of your nature. It is our greatest need. Jesus didn't mince words. He didn't give a sermon on the Sabbath or the state of the dead. He said, you must be born again. Years ago, it used to be people would come up to you and say, are you saved? You remember that? I don't even know if we ask that anymore. Jesus says, you must be born again. So what you're saying, Pastor, is that if you are not born again, you mean everybody's not going to heaven? Oh, help me. Jesus says, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. No ambiguities. Clear. And what the world needs, Nicodemus is patting Jesus on the back for being a teacher. The world is not in need of another teacher. The world needs a life giver. The world needs someone who can change us. We need to be born again. We need to be rebirthed. The world is looking for truth, and I am glad that we as a church share truth with the world. Amen? Aren't you? But the world is not so much looking for truth that it's not looking for a person who has not changed. It's looking for a real change. It's looking for the power that can clean and turn around. And this is met in only one person, Jesus Christ. That need is met by only one person, Jesus Christ. And you ought not let this service go by without accepting this first. You must be born again. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. You must be born again. That necessity is met in Jesus Christ. And this brings into play the second must, found right here in John chapter 3. Let me show you, starting at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And look at verse 15. Most of us know 16, but 15 is almost the same verse as 15. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's verse 15. That's John 3, 15. Now you know 16. Amen? The second must is you must lift Jesus up. You see, after you're born again, the first thing out of your mouth ought to be, thank you, Jesus. Amen? We need to lift Jesus up. Now, in the context of this, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know where that story comes from? Numbers chapter 21. You go to Numbers chapter 21. Very interesting story. I know you know it. It's a very famous story. The children of Israel, God was leading them through the wilderness. God had been feeding them bread from heaven. God rained down pancakes from the sky. That's right. Manna was like pancakes. Guess what you read in Numbers chapter 21? The children of Israel told God, I don't want any more of that loathsome manna. Let me share this with you. I've shared it before, I'll share it again. You know when God is blessing you and you know he's blessing you, be careful about murmuring and complaining to God about your blessings. Because guess what happened in that story? When you murmur and complain when you're blessed, God removes his hedge from around you. You see, they had the audacity to think that they were making it through the wilderness on their own. And God decided to remove the hedge. And all those snakes that were out there all along, they started biting people.
God had been protecting them. God removed that hedge. When you start murmuring and complaining about the blessings that God has given you, He'll remove the hedge from around you. And guess what happened? When those snakes started biting, people were screaming all through the camp. They started crying out for mercy. And God is so merciful. God heard their cries. And He told Moses, get a pole and build a representation of a serpent. Make it out of brass or bronze and put it on this pole, and I want you to hold it up real high and tell the people to look at it. And if they look at it and they've been bitten by the snakes, they would be healed. Now, how many out here today, if God told you to do that, would look? Let me see your hand. Would you look? If you were bitten by a snake and God said, would you look? I'm pretty sure that I would look. Do you know that there are some people out there that would not look? They would rather die than lift Jesus up. They would rather die than be saved. Because we know that that pole represents Jesus one day hanging on the cross to save humanity. And do you know that people today will not accept Him? They'd rather die first. The two must. You must be born again. Give Jesus your life. And then when He takes your life, you are to lift Him up. You are to believe. Right in mixed in that passage is the John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life.
Reminds me of the confession of Peter about Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. October the 31st, 2 weeks ago, the world celebrated Halloween. But there's a community that paid special attention to that day. It was the community of magicians. For it was the anniversary of the death of the great magician Houdini. Houdini, when he lived, his mother died, and that had a great effect upon his life. And so he spent the latter years of his life trying to contact his dead mother. And he would have seances. And so every Halloween, there's a group of magicians around the world that get together to celebrate the death of Houdini and something else. You see, Houdini, you might know that he was a master escape artist. And it had to do with his enormous physical strength, very strong man, very capable of escaping almost anything. And so what Houdini did was he could escape anything, and then he also had a trick called you could punch him with all your might, anybody, and he could take it. Wouldn't be affected by it.
And so he was known for that. People would punch him in the gut. They would punch him in the arm. They would punch him. And he could stand it. And while he was able to do that, again, he was in excellent physical condition. And he was a master escape artist, and he knew how to somehow just time it. And he would tense his muscles up so that when you hit him, you know, just like martial artists, they know how to take a blow. Wouldn't get him full effect. And so that rumor, that word had gotten around about Houdini. I'm going somewhere with this. And he was with a group of college students, and they had heard that. And you know, that's, I mean, we're a bunch of college students, they hear about that. I mean, you asking for it. One student decided that he would catch Houdini off guard. And so when he wasn't looking, he, with all of his might, he just gave everything he had into that punch. Caught him off guard. Houdini was a man that could not stop working. In the latter years of his life, he continued to perform while he was sick. And so when that student caught him, he was not well then. Caught him and it really injured him. He was hurt. Instead of stopping and getting medical help, he continued performing. You know the end from the beginning. Eventually he was in such bad situation he had to go to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, he was at the point of death. He told his wife, "And one day I'm coming back." And so he gave his wife a secret code, a secret name, so that when she heard him talking, she'd know it was him. He gave her that secret code, secret name. He died. And he's not come back yet. And every Halloween, the magicians get together hoping to bring up Houdini. You know why the two musts are so important? Because the only person that has promised eternal life and can deliver is Jesus. Houdini wasted all of his time when all he needed was Jesus. All he needed was the two musts: to be born again and to lift Jesus up. You know, you ought not leave here today if you've not made a decision for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You need to do that today. You ought not leave here without making a decision about the two musts: to be born again. That means just give your life to Him. Amen? Amen. Don't try and be good. It doesn't work. Just give your life to Him. And when He gets a hold of your life, you'll change. Amen? Amen? And people will know it. And when they find out and they see that you've changed, I don't want you to say, "You know, I was at church and Pastor Jones called me forward and I changed." You want to say, "Jesus got a hold of me. And when He got a hold of me, I've never been the same again." You want to lift Him up. Amen. While your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, you know what I'm going to do. You know, I couldn't get through the end of this sermon without asking you to give your life to Jesus. This world that we're living in, it's so uncertain. I pray that next Sabbath when we join together after Thanksgiving, that we'll all be here. But I can't guarantee that. But I can guarantee you, if you let Jesus take control of your life, if you'll be born again and lift him up, that you'll have eternal life. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if there's someone here today, you have not, if you have already made decisions for Christ, you don't have to do it again. I'm talking about someone here that has not been born again. You must be born again. No ambiguities there. No confusion. You must be born again. You say, well, Pastor, what about all of those people who've never heard the name of Jesus? Don't worry about those people. Take care of yourself. If you have not been born again, Jesus wants to take your life right now. And then you lift him up. If you've not made that decision and you want to say yes to him, that's all I'm asking. Jesus just asked us to, when Paul was dealing with the jailer, he in Acts 16 and verse 31, he just said, believe. I'm sorry, I don't have a greater formula than that. But Jesus says, just believe. That's all I'm asking you to do right now. Just believe. Just believe on him. And I'm telling you, if you believe on him, you will not go wrong. There, man, woman, boy, girl, that has not up to this point given your heart to Jesus and you want to say yes to him, I want to see your hand, and heaven wants to record your lifting of your hand. Anyone falls into that category that would like to say yes to Jesus? Let me see your hand. I see your hand. I want you to understand what I'm asking. You've not made that choice yet, but you want to do it today. Don't let this hour pass. I see your hands back there. Thank you. We had 4 or 5 people in the first service raise their hand. Amen. Isn't God good? I saw the hand in the back. Don't be afraid. This is not about folk looking at you. This is about accepting eternal life. Can you think of anything more important than that? I can. If there's anything that the Lord has charged me to do, is to do exactly what I'm doing right now. To not let men and women get away without knowing that they need to be born again and lift Jesus up. That's what I'm charged to do. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone else that would like to say yes to him? I want to be born again. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the household of faith. For those who have been born again, thank you for the new hands, those who have raised their hands, saying yes, Lord, to you. We thank you, Lord, for their bravery. Thank you for their courage. Lord, we live in a world being destroyed by sin, and the only answer is found in you. Lord, may our lives be of such that we might cause people to say, as they look into our lives, what must I do to be saved like them? Lord, bless this congregation. Encourage our hearts. And in all things, we'll be careful to praise your name forever. Because we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.